Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Richard here, and thank you for listening once again to our Sunday worship. And do remember that this service is available until Tuesday evening, when a midweek Bible study then takes over on the line. This week, our theme is Let Justice Flow. And as usual, the sermon will appear quite quickly, and then the other parts of the service will follow. I'm not sure what happened this week, but the sermon runs for just over 20 minutes, so you might want to go and get a cup of tea to help you through this week. We also have managed some music, first of all from Louise Glenn, singing Once Again, Jesus, I Think Upon Your Sacrifice. And then Eileen is going to play a medley of two pieces, I Know Who Holds a Future and Yesterday, Today, Forever. Glenda is going to read from Psalm 95, and Ray Houston is going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. So a lot happening in this week's service. Latest news is that government regulations are changing and churches are going to allow to be reopened from Monday the 29th of June. Details about what this will look like are expected next week, so I'll give you an update next Sunday. But because many people are still shielding until at least the end of July, and others may not wish to come out and sit in a pew on a Sunday, Burnside at Home and these recordings are going to continue for the foreseeable future. So today, let's worship God together. Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thank you for joining with us again as we come to worship God, as we come to bow before Him and humbly seek Him together today. We're still dealing with social distancing. We're still living in partial lockdown, although restrictions are being lifted each and every day. But as we come before God today, we're also living in a world that not only is facing a pandemic, but is also protesting at injustice. And so today, as we worship, I want us to ask the question together, how do I respond to injustice in the world? The media would have us believe that the only way that we can respond to injustice is to gather in mass gatherings and to protest. And the danger, as we've seen to that approach, is that sometimes violence can break out and destruction can take place. But the media would also have us believe that if we don't do that, then the only alternative is to do nothing. And so as we worship today, I want us to open up God's word once again and see what our response as Christians should be to the injustice in the world. A few weeks ago, whenever we were asking the question, why Jesus? I said, why Jesus? Because there isn't a problem that I've ever faced that Jesus isn't able to help me with. Why Jesus? Because whatever goes on around me, I can turn to Jesus and find help. And so today we're going to do exactly that. As we look at the injustices that are taking place in the world, we're going to look to Jesus Christ, and we're going to find the answers in Him. Now, obviously, in the media and the news reports, George Floyd's death in the United States is what is the catalyst for much of the protesting that's happening. But there are also many other injustices in the world. George Floyd is one person, but there are all sorts of other injustices that are happening. And we ignore them at our peril. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted for their faith in many different parts of the world. They're being imprisoned, they're being beaten, they are being killed. And sometimes those stories don't hit the headlines. And so as we think of injustice today, we're thinking of many different cases and many different ways. Today, we're going to be thinking about Amos chapter 5. And the prophet Amos brings a message to God's people that whenever there's injustice in the world, they have two weapons that they can use. They're very simple weapons that any of us can take hold of today, but they are important weapons. Lament and repent. We are to lament about the injustice, and then we're to repent
of what we have done wrong that has added to that injustice. Those are the responsibilities of us as followers of Jesus Christ. Lament is something that's often overlooked in the world today. It's not seen as something that can make positive change. Lament is not a case of saying, oh, woe is me. But lament is feeling the hurt of others, being truly sorry for what has taken place, and then doing something about it in repenting of that. And so today we're going to look at those two things together. And we realize that whenever we as Christians do not lament and do not repent of our sin, then we leave the way open for others to come and try and bring about change. And that opens up the platform for violence to take place and for protests to happen. So we have a responsibility as followers of Jesus Christ today to take hold of these two ideas of lamenting and repenting and come before God humbly and seek Him today. We're going to begin our time of worship by looking at Psalm 95, because in Psalm 95 the psalmist is calling us to worship God. He's calling us into God's presence. And he's giving us a warning as well. He's saying, if you hear God's voice today, don't harden your heart. Don't turn away from Him, but embrace Him. Soften your heart so that God's word can penetrate and make a difference to how you're living today. So let's turn to Psalm 95 together.
The Bible reading is from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Amen.
From Psalm 95, we're going to sing a song that's based on Psalm 98. Sing to God new songs of worship. It's a wonderful song that reminds us how marvelous God's deeds are, that we can trust Him at any time, that not only has He created things, but He's brought salvation to us. And so if we open our hearts to Him and we listen to Him today, He brings salvation into our lives, and then we are ready to go into the world and to face the injustices that exist and to bring God's grace to each and every situation. Our Bible reading today is Amos chapter 5. I'm going to read from the New International Version. But then whenever we look at this passage together in a few moments, I'm going to look at the version from The Message. So if you happen to have The Message at home, go and get a copy of it, open it up. Because Eugene Peterson, in his unique phrasing, takes some of these words and just expands them and helps us understand them a little. So this is Amos chapter 5, and here the context is that Amos is lamenting for Israel. Now, normally what happens is something bad happens and you lament about it. Lament is a biblical way of dealing with tragedy and dealing with loss. The strange thing about this passage is that nothing has actually happened to Israel yet. But God has said what will happen to them if they don't turn around, if they don't put their lives in order, if they don't make Him a priority instead of living for themselves. And so Amos laments to Israel as though the judgment has already come. And the idea is to make Israel sit up, take notice, take stock of their lives, and realize that they need to put their selfishness behind them and turn to God. So lament, be sad for what has taken place, repent, turn around your life back to God again. And so this is what we find in this passage from Amos chapter 5. So let's hear God's word together. Hear this word, O house of Israel. This lament I take up concerning you. Fallen is virgin Israel, never to rise again, deserted in her own land, with no one to lift her up. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The city that marches out 1,000 strong for Israel will have only 100 left. The town that marches out 100 strong will have only 10 left. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. For Gilgal will surely go into exile and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live. For he will sweep through the house of Joseph like a fire. It will devour, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. You who turn injustice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground, he who made the Pleiades and Orion, who turns blackness into dawn and darkness day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land, the Lord is his name. He flashes destruction on the stronghold and brings the fortified city to ruin. You hate the one who reproves in court and despise him who tells the truth. You trample on the poor and force him to give you grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great your sins. You oppress the righteous and take bribes. You deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent man keeps quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. There will be wailing in all the streets and cries of anguish in every public square. The farmers will be summoned to weep and the mourners to wail. There will be wailing in all the vineyards. For I will pass through your midst, says the Lord. Amen.
Of course, the pandemic is sweeping across the world at the moment, and on the surface, that pandemic seems to be the biggest problem that you and I are facing. But over the last couple of weeks, there have also been lots of protests about injustice. And so it would appear that injustice is a problem that is global as well. And it's not just the Black Lives Matter that we've been seeing the protests about on television, but as I've said throughout our service today, there's all sorts of injustice going on in the world. There's also a second global problem, and that is the lack of worship of God. People have simply turned their backs on God and are no longer worshipping him, and many who would claim to worship God just aren't really putting their whole heart into it. It's very half-hearted worship. And so Amos chapter 5 that we're going to look at together today, and we've already been dipping into throughout the service, deals with both those issues, injustice and lack of worship. So we're going to look at it in some detail. I'm going to quote now from the Message version of Amos 5, but you can follow along in whatever version you happen to have. And I'd encourage you to get your Bible open at this point, because we're going to go through all 27 verses, and we're going to look at what God's saying to us about these issues of injustice and lack of worship. And we're going to couch it in these two tools that God has given to us to help us cope in the world today, that of lament and repent. We need to be lamenting about the things that are going wrong in the world, and we need to be repenting and turning back to God and finding Him again. So the context is that Amos is lamenting what is happening to the nation of Israel. It hasn't quite happened yet, but God has said this is what He's going to do if they keep rejecting Him, if they allow injustice in the world, and if they don't worship Him with hearts that are focused upon Him. And of course, it doesn't take much for us to draw the implications into our lives today, where we see that there's injustice all around us, and often Christians fight up and stand up for that injustice. But sometimes we turn the other, we turn away, we don't do anything about it. We're not as concerned about it as we might be. And then there's the problem of worshiping God and only being half-hearted in our worship. And we need to lament of both those things and then turn to God and repent. So the passage begins in Amos chapter 5, where Amos is bringing God's word to the people, and he's telling them, listen to this, family of Israel. This is the message that I'm sending you. Eugene Peterson says, in bold print, this tragic warning. And then it begins in verse 2. Virgin Israel has fallen flat on her face. She'll never stand up again. She's been left where she's fallen, and no one offers to help her up. And of course, we can look at our nation and we can say our nation has fallen flat on its face. Indeed, all the nations of the world have fallen flat on their face, where they thought that they were great and powerful nations, one competing against the other. And yet this virus has come and has just flattened everyone. They've fallen down, and it's hard to pick them back up again. And so this message today is every bit as relevant for us now as it was back in the day of Amos as well. So how can we pick ourselves up? How can we get back to living again and not be down and out as Amos is warning us here? Well, the message in these first few verses is seek God and live. God's message to the family of Israel in verse 4, it says, seek me and live. Don't fool around at those shrines of Bethel. Don't waste time taking trips to Gilgal. And don't bother going down to Beersheba. Gilgal is here today and gone tomorrow. Bethel is all show and no substance. The warning is that we need to seek God, and then we will live a life, an abundant life, as Jesus tells us in John chapter 10 and verse 10. And the problem is that Israel was going everywhere but God to try and find a way out of their difficulties. They'd fallen flat on their face. They couldn't get up. So they were going to the other shrines. They were going to the other gods. They were offering their sacrifices and their worship in the hope that some of these gods would pick them up. And really, it should have been a warning for them to turn back to God. This is God shouting to them. This is God in their distress telling them, come back to me. Commit yourself to me again and I will bless you. And is that not what's happening in our world today, where God is very clearly saying to us, look, turn back to me, seek me and you will live. But the nations are looking everywhere else but God. And we're planning our recovery from this pandemic, not on turning to God in prayer, not lamenting for what has happened and then repenting of it, but we're basing everything on economic survival and health survival. We want to protect the health service so that we can cope with the pandemic. We want to build up business again and get the economy going. And those two things are vital. They're absolutely necessary, but unless they are built upon this idea of lamenting and repenting, then there's no foundation to them. Then there's no way that they're going to help us. So verse 4, Amos says, seek God and live. And then following on in verse 6, so seek God and live. You don't want to end up with nothing to show for your life but a pile of ashes, a house burned to the ground. For God will send just such a fire, and the firefighters will show up too late. The NIV says in that verse that our lives will end up as ashes. And that's the idea here, that if we don't seek God, everything that we've worked hard for, everything that we've put all of our effort into, is just going to be burned down. It's going to end up as a pile of ashes. The firefighters aren't going to get there quick enough to put out the fire, and so everything's going to be destroyed. So the only way to live and the only way to recover is to seek God. This whole idea of lamenting for what's gone wrong, repenting and turning to God. So we've got this injustice in the world. How can we really ignore injustice? Because sometimes that's what we do. And the protests that are taking place at the minute would say that this has gone on long enough. The injustice against African Americans in America has gone on long enough, and something needs to be done about it. And the same is true of every other injustice that we encounter in the world. In Nigeria, Christians are being killed on a monthly basis because of their faith. And yet often we just ignore it. There are other instances throughout the world of injustices that are happening, not just to God's people, but to people in general. And often we ignore it. Sometimes if it's highlighted in the media, we'll mention it, we'll pray about it. But sometimes we ignore too much of it. And so Amos says here to the people in verse 7, woe to you who turn justice to vinegar. The word's bitterness in the NIV. But that picture of turning justice to vinegar, making it bitter, not being something that people seek, but just allowing injustice to carry on. That's not the way a Christian is to live. And as Amos continues, and you stump righteousness into the mud. That's not the way we as Christians are to follow our Lord and Savior, the Lord God Almighty. We're to stand up for justice. We're to stand up for righteousness and make it something that people desire. All too often, righteousness is no longer desired by people in this world. And it's just stumped into the ground and it's overlooked. Rightness, goodness, wholesome things are dismissed and other things are brought in their place. And then in verse 8, Amos tries to remind the people of their place in the world and where they fit into this whole cosmos that God has created. He says, do you realize where you are? You're in a cosmos star-flung with constellations by God. Do you not realize? You're living in a world that was created by God. You're living in a world that God controls, a world God wakes up each morning and puts to bed each night. God dips water from the ocean and gives the land a drink. God revealed, does all this. You're not living in a world that you control. You're not living in a world that is under your command. God commands it. He puts it to sleep and he wakes it up. And this is where we fit into this world. So therefore, we better do something about how we live under God's direction and under God's plan. And Amos warns us, and God can destroy it as easily as make it. He can turn this vast wonder into total waste. People hate this kind of talk. Raw truth is never popular, Amos says. And up until a few months ago, we might have thought to ourselves, well, yeah, we've heard of some of the great things that happened in the Old Testament, where God judged the world and God brought things upon the world and allowed things to happen.
There was the flood, there were the plagues, there was disease, there was exile, where the people were banished from their land, and all those things we heard about in the past. But we sort of thought to ourselves, well, you know, we're so much more intelligent now. We're able to do things for ourselves. God's not able to bring us down the way he would have done in the Old Testament. We can look after ourselves. But in a few short weeks, coronavirus has spread and brought us face down and unable to pick ourselves up again. And so God can destroy it as easily as make it. And then Amos goes on in verse 11, but here it is, bluntly spoken. Here he's getting to the truth. He's getting to the nub of the matter here, and he's saying, because you run roughshod over the poor and take the bread right out of their mouths, you're never going to move into the houses that you have built, the luxury homes that you've spent your life creating. You haven't treated people well. You haven't done things fairly. You haven't cared for those who are in need in the world. So therefore, all that you've built up for yourself is going to come to nothing. You're not going to benefit from it. You're never going to drink wine from the expensive vineyards that you've planted. Do you remember the rich fool who gathered in the harvest and built bigger barns and thought about how great he was and how he could make things better for himself? And yet his life was taken from him. And it's the same idea that Amos is warning Israel about, and Amos is warning us about today. That if we just look after ourselves and build ourselves up and forget about the poor and forget about those who have no justice, then it's all going to be taken from us. And we can see how easily it can be taken from us. And therefore, we need to put more effort into looking after those who are marginalized by society. Verse 12, Amos says, I know precisely the extent of your violations. God knows what our sins are. He knows what we've done. The enormity of your sins, they're appalling. You bully right living people, taking bribes right and left and kicking the poor when they're down. And is that not what society has become so much in today's world, where the right living people are the ones who are looked down upon? And the poor people are downtrodden. And justice is a lost cause in verse 13. Evil is epidemic. Decent people just throw up their hands, protest and rebuke are useless, a waste of breath. And we see the protests and we see the destruction that they bring. And yet we have the answer. The answer is lament and repent. Be truly sorry for what's happening as you read God's word and then repent. We need to live like we mean these words. Seek good and not evil and live, we're told in verse 14. And then Amos makes an incredibly powerful statement to Israel, because Israel would claim to be the ones that were following God. Israel would claim to be the ones that know God's word, and they would look down on all the rest of the world and say, well, if you want to find injustice, look at those other nations, look at the way they live. If you want to see where the poor are mistreated, don't look at us, look elsewhere. But Amos points the finger right to Israel and says to them, you talk about God, the God of the angel armies. You talk about him being your best friend. Well, says Amos, live like it, and maybe it will happen. And the danger is that we talk about God and we know about God, and Amos could well be saying to us today, well, you say you know God, live like it and see what happens. Actually live it out in your life and see what happens with God and what he is doing. Hate evil, love good, then work it out in the public square. Maybe God, the God Almighty, the God of the angel armies, will notice your remnant and be gracious. In other words, lament of what has happened, repent of your evil ways and turn back to God again and see what he will do. Now again, my master's message, Amos says in verse 16, God, God of the angel armies, go out into the streets and lament loudly. Fill the shops with cries of doom. Weep loudly. Not me, not us, not now. We're to go out into the world and cry for God's mercy and cry that God will show mercy to us in our lives. And it goes on in verse 16. Empty offices, stores, factories, workplaces. Enlist everyone in this general lament. I want to hear it loud and clear when I make my visit, God decrees. God wants to see people who are lamenting and repenting. And that is what will make a difference in the world. That we as Christians take these two tools and we use them daily against all the injustice and against those who do not worship truly the Lord God Almighty. Then Amos comes with a warning, a dire warning towards the end. He says to the people, be careful what you wish for. Because as people look at what's going on in the world in Israel's day, and I suppose in today's world, there's a cry for judgment to come. Israel would have said, well, Lord, come in judgment, judge the nations. Come and your will be done here. And then we will see your kingdom being established and we'll see true justice coming. And there's a danger that we call for that today as well. And we see the answer as being God's judgment. But Amos warns us, if you're going to call for God's judgment, then you better make sure that you are right with God and you're doing the right thing. Verse 18, woe to all of you who want God's judgment day. Why would you want to see God, want him to come? When God comes, it will be bad news before it is good news. The worst of times, not the best of times. If God comes in judgment, we better be ready for that judgment. If we're calling for God's will to be done on the earth that isn't heaven, we better make sure that we are living lives that are focused on God and worshiping him. Here's what it's like, God says. A man runs from a lion right into the jaws of a bear. You ask for God's judgment, it's like running away from a lion, but then a bear comes and gets you. And as if that's not enough, then he enters his house, rests his hand on the wall of the house, and a snake comes along and bites him. If we are asking for these things, we better be careful because they could be very bad news before they're good news. At God's coming, we face hard reality, not fantasy, a black cloud with no silver lining. So what do we offer God? As we get to the end of chapter 5 of Amos, we ask that question, what do we offer God? And in verse 21, Amos continues, I can't stand, speaking God's words, I can't stand your religious meetings. I'm fed up with your conferences and conventions. I want nothing to do with your religion projects, your pretentious slogans and goals. I'm sick of your fundraising schemes, your public relations and image making. I've had all I can take of your noisy ego music. When was the last time that you sang to me? And we might be asking that question today because we're not gathered together. When was the last time that we sang together? But that's not the question. The question is, when was the last time that you sang to God? When was the last time that we worshiped God? Truly, in spirit and in truth. Because that's what God desires. He doesn't desire big gatherings. He doesn't desire big conventions and special meetings. He desires a people that love him and will live for him. Do you know what I mean, verse 24? I want justice. Oceans of it. I want fairness. Rivers of it. That's what I want. That's all I want, God says.
And so we are to bring justice to the world. Not just a little bit of justice here and there to change a few small little things. We are to bring loads of justice, oceans of it, rivers of it, flowing out of our lives to all those around us. We're to make sure that we live lives of justice that then works out to other people's lives as well, so that everyone would know what justice is. Didn't you, dear family of Israel, verse 25, worship me faithfully for 40 years in the wilderness, bringing the sacrifices, the offerings I commanded? How is it you've stopped and you've stooped to dragging statues of your so-called rulers around, hauling the cheap images of all your star gods here and there? Since you like them so much, you can take them with you when I drive you into exile beyond Damascus. God's message, God of the angel armies. We've seen a lot of statues being dragged about over the past couple of weeks. And here Amos's warning is, don't get caught up with your statues. Don't get caught up with your own gods and your own self-importance. Look to God and worship God. You've done it before. Why not do it now and live lives that are worthy of him? So how do we respond to injustice in the world? Well, we lament. We lament what has gone wrong, and then we repent of our sin and we turn to God. We worship him with true hearts, not just offering what we think will get us by, but digging deep and worshiping deep. We're going to finish our time together by singing a hymn, O Lord, the Clouds Are Gathering. It's an old hymn by Graham Kendrick. I remember singing it as a teenager. And it's a hymn which reminds us that judgment is coming upon the earth. And judgment is coming from God. And there's nothing that we can do to stop that judgment coming. So what we need to do then is to cry out for mercy. Have mercy, Lord, we sing in the chorus. Have mercy on us as individuals. Have mercy on those around us, Lord. And may they come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ and know the power of salvation. Amen. An awful lot happens in a few short days at the moment, and since I recorded the other parts of video for our Burnside Home service, a number of things have come to light. First of all, a number of people are taking part in the service and have provided video, which is great, and I'll tell you about those in a moment. But I'm recording this from home today just to give you an update. On Thursday of this week, the government released some more lockdown measures, and they've said that churches can open for worship from Monday the 29th of June. Now, there haven't been too many details given at this stage. We're told that that will be confirmed this incoming Thursday, and more details will be given about the restrictions that are going to be placed upon churches whenever they do open for worship. At the moment, you're only allowed a gathering of up to 10 people outside, so obviously that's going to have to change in the next week. But we are putting plans in place, and we will bring those to you as soon as we have more details. Obviously, we recognise that many of you are shielding and won't be able to come and join with us. We also recognise that seating capacity will be well reduced. Only about 40 people can fit into the main church building. And with all of that in mind, Burnside at Home is going to continue so that if you're not able to gather in the main church building, you will still be able to worship with us at home. So what's coming up in our service today? Well, Glenda has already read from Psalm 95 for us. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to be led by Ray Houston today. Remember last week, lots of people contributed to the Lord's Prayer, and each of those folk have recorded the full prayer, and it would be an awful shame to see those going to waste. So this week, Ray is going to lead us in the full prayer. Then Eileen is going to play a medley of two pieces for us. I Know Who Holds the Future, and Yesterday, Today and Forever. And then Louise is going to sing once again, Jesus Christ, I Think Upon Your Sacrifice. So let's worship God together today.
Let us pray together. Father, help us to offer worship that is pleasing to you. We know, Lord, that you want more than singing and a gift in the offering. You desire justice. So, Lord, today stir our hearts to offer you true worship. Worship that provides service to the poor, the widow, the slave, the prisoner, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, and the homeless. Lord, may our acts of compassion roll like a river. Let us offer worship that is woven into obedience, because anything less than obedience is self-made, self-centered, and self-created religion. You reject this type of man-centered worship. If we engage in this false religion, the end result is bondage. So, Lord, we pray that our lives will be marked today by true worship. And we pray that this real worship will free us and free the oppressed around us. In the name of Jesus Christ, the King of this kingdom. Amen. Why Jesus? Because in a world where everyone is fighting for their rights, Jesus offers an alternative. Jesus isn't somebody who came to this earth and stood up for all of his rights. Instead, he came humbly and offers us an alternative to work in this world. This past week, we've been looking together at Philippians in our Bible studies. And can I encourage you to go and look at those Bible studies? You can find them on the website under the section entitled Beside the Burn, or you can also find them each morning on the daily blog, the latest update that takes place. And there's a little short 5-minute video each day to help you meditate on a portion of God's word. This past week, we looked at Philippians chapter 2, and there we read where Paul is telling the church in Philippi, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And that is what Jesus Christ did. Jesus, as a Son of God, could easily have come to earth and looked out for his own interests. He could have established himself as King of Kings, and everybody needed to bow down and do whatever he said. But Jesus came and put the needs of others before himself. He came in humility, considering others greater than himself. And he offered himself, not standing up for his own rights, but offered himself for the salvation of others. Jesus went to the cross and suffered and died, not because of any sin that he had in himself, but because of my sin and because of your sin. Jesus came actively looking out for our needs, realizing that the greatest need that we have is our sin. And he came and offered us forgiveness for that sin, looking out for others. He came and found us who were helpless and offered us hope. So why Jesus? Because Jesus has an alternative plan to the one that the world offers. Jesus comes in humility and serves, and in that way offers us hope. He calls each one of us to come humbly before him and to serve others with his love and with his grace and with his mercy. And so today we think about the sacrifice that he has offered to us, and we praise him and we worship him because of that sacrifice, that he gave up everything so that our sins could be dealt with. So Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to God.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Today in Amos chapter 5, we'll find out that God is very particular about the way that we worship him. He doesn't just want us to be present and to go through the motions and to offer him money. He wants us to worship him in spirit and truth. He wants us to worship him with hearts that are focused on him. And so we read in Amos 5 where God says, "I hate, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs, I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." So as we come to God in our worship and we give thanks today for the offering that we make to him, let's bow humbly before him in prayer and ask that our offering would be acceptable. Heavenly Father, we pray today that our worship of you would be acceptable to you. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to bring justice to this world where we are your witnesses. We pray, Lord, that you would accept the offerings that we have brought to you this day. And we present them to you now, Lord, asking that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Asking, Lord, that your kingdom would come and that justice would flow out like mighty rivers. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Where would you like to be today? We've all got lots of answers to that particular question. Maybe you'd like to be in your favourite coffee shop again, sitting and enjoying a nice latte or cappuccino, having a chat with friends and eating a nice tray bake. Maybe whenever I think about that question, I think to myself, well, I'd love to be at Anfield. I'd love to be with the crowds supporting Liverpool at a game of football again. Maybe you'd just like to go somewhere that is very meaningful for you. You'd like to go for a walk along the beach, or you'd like to be at the seaside again. And if you're one of our visitors to Port Stewart and to Burnside, then I'm sure you'd love to be back here with us on the coast once again. There are all sorts of answers to that question that we might have. And maybe a couple of months ago, we would have been thinking exotic places that we'd like to go, places we'd love to go on holiday far away that would cost quite a bit of money to get to. But I think now, in our current circumstances, the one place that we really want to be is with our family or with our friends. We just long for that opportunity once again to sit down with friends and family and have a chat. There's one place that we all long to be that we can be each and every day, and that is in God's presence. Even in the midst of lockdown, we can still be with God, and he promises to be with us. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts to me, the psalmist says. The psalmist longs to be with his heavenly Father. He longs to be in his presence, and he realizes that not only can he be in God's presence in the future, looking forward to it, but it's somewhere that he can be here. And in Psalm 86, he goes through and he thinks of the birds that have nests and other places that we can be in the world, but that the best place is to be in God's presence. So wherever you are today, whatever your circumstances happen to be, wherever you would long to be, remember that today you can be in God's presence. Today, as we bring our prayers for others, there are a number of things that we want to pray about. This is Father's Day, so we want to give thanks for our fathers. We want to give thanks for our Heavenly Father as well. We want to pray about injustice in the world, and we want to pray about COVID-19 and the spread of the virus, and pray for all those who are affected at this time. So as we come to pray, we're going to mention these things, and then we're going to finish with a prayer of lament based around the thoughts that we're going to be thinking about later on from Amos chapter 5. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come to you on this Father's Day, we give you thanks that you are our Father and that you are the one who cares for us and loves us as a father should, and you provide for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fathers that we have in our lives, and we give you thanks today for all that they have taught us, for all that they have done for us in our lives, for the blessing that you have given to us through them. We pray, Lord, for those who do not have good memories of fathers, and we pray that you might be a father to them and that you might help them on this day. We pray, Lord, for the coronavirus that has spread throughout our world, and we pray for all those who have been affected. We pray for medical staff, and we give you thanks for all that they have done. We pray, Lord, for those who are suffering because of it, those who are ill and are fighting in hospital. We pray, Lord, for those who economically are suffering because of it. We pray, Lord, for those who are coming to terms with a change in lifestyle because of all that has happened over these past few months. And Lord, we recognize that you alone are the only one who can bring an end to this virus and can help us plan a way forward once again. We pray today, Lord, about injustice in this world. And we think, Lord, about the Black Lives Matters and all the protests that are taking place. But Lord, we pray for other injustices in the world as well. We think of our brothers and sisters in Christ who in so many parts of the world are frightened for their lives, have been arrested and punished because of their faith in you. And Lord, we recognize today that we are united as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, Lord, we cannot just abdicate our responsibility, but we come to you today in lament and repenting of our sin. And so, Lord, we pray, holy, perfect God, we admit that we put other things above you in our lives. We say we long for you, but we actually long for other things, for more money, more comfort. Lord, you will come with darkness for us if our hearts remain captive to anything but you. We confess that we are openly rebellious against you. We are fallen, never to rise again unless you lift us up. Lord, we have failed to worship you with our hearts. Our religious gatherings are so often hollow because our hearts are slaves to lesser things. We pay you a visit on a Sunday, but we long to go on to our other gods. Lord God, we confess that we break your heart. We sometimes gather before you half-heartedly, waiting to go back to worshipping ourselves. When we truly worship you, we will seek good and not evil. We will hate evil and love good. Lord God, have mercy. Renew our hearts within us. Make us long for you, our God. Amen.
Our blessing now at the end of the service is based on all that we've been thinking about from Amos chapter 5. So my prayer today for each one of us is that we would now go with renewed inspiration to do the work of God, that we would seek good, not evil, that we would love goodness and establish justice. This is the greatest offering that we can make to God, letting justice flow down like rivers and righteousness like a never-ending stream. So go in peace with love for the Lord God Almighty and with love for one another. Amen.